broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio with hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, as always. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 16th in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is our one of two, and our goal remains the same: to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, for the United States of America as our guide. We call it the blueprint for liberty. And ladies and gentlemen, we believe the checks and balances inspired by the Almighty, wisely put in place by the founders, absolutely brilliant. And the solution to our problems: we don't need a big old revolution. A restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth will do just nicely. And you say, Sam, how do we get a restoration underway? Well, you first study and learn and understand the principles that made America great. You simply apply those principles using the wise checks and balances of the founders. And man, we could have a free America. Is it going to take a lot of work? Without a doubt. Can it be done? Without a doubt. The only question left is, are you part of the solution? Welcome to the broadcast. A recap of Friday's freedom-loving, fantastic Friday's broadcast. We had on Dr. Edwin Vieira. He's Edwin Vieira Jr. He's a PhD, a JD, whatever you call it. You know, he's an attorney. The guy's just brilliant. And he writes articles currently for newsoftheviews.com. He wrote one of his latest books called How to Dethrone the Imperial Judiciary. That's a critical book to understand, ladies and gentlemen. How to Dethrone the Imperial Judiciary. And the point is, everybody wants to talk about impeachment, and that's certainly a remedy. But there's a lot of things we can do short of impeachment as well that we're not taking advantage of. He also wrote a book called Constitutional Homeland Security. What would that look like, huh? Would you have some unconstitutional bogus agency? Or would you rely on the militia? The militia, right? And you would say, well, Sam, the militia, man, that's got, you know, pretty bad rap these days. Yeah, if you don't understand what the militia is, then it does. If you understand the proper role of militia, if you understand the proper role of grand juries, you'll realize that they do have government involvement, appropriately so. Anyway, we also talked about his special announcement of an updated reprint of his Pieces of Eight book. Back in the day, the Pieces of Eight talked about the Federal Reserve, and it was a small book. I read it almost 20 years ago. Nowadays, it's a two-volume, what, like 1,700-page kind of thing? It's massive, and it's incredibly detailed, valuable for educational purposes. Anyway, the reprint of that's available now. We also had on a guest with Edwin Vieira the first hour was Kelly Knighting of the Independent American Party, independentamericanparty.org. We asked the question, is the Constitution dead? And we only think it could be dead, ladies and gentlemen, if Americans lose the educational reality of the solutions possible. If it's in our hearts and in our minds, and if we're good moral people and we advocate for the supreme law of the land via the checks and balances, and we do so with clear, united efforts, the Constitution's never dead, folks. Has it taken a hit? Without question. Now, Edwin Vieira also says that a monetary and a banking crisis is inevitable in the near future. But talking about timetables is a waste of time because we don't know exactly when or how it'll come about. But make no mistake, a monetary and a banking crisis is inevitable in the future. We also asked who regulates a well-regulated militia. That's an easy one if you study the Constitution, folks. We talked about that in hour one. Hour two, Dr. Edwin Vieira interview continues. Is impeachment the answer? It's certainly one answer, but there's a lot of other opportunities that we aren't taking advantage of, is the point. We also talked about the founders' view on national health care. We talked about death squads. We talked about no need to disarm the police. We also talked about we need your help to stop the IRS. Yeah. We talked about the article in the news that Kurt brought forward. IRS agents, I guess there's fake IRS agents, And it's kind of weird Kurt brought up the point, what's a fake IRS agent? Since the IRS is already unconstitutional, since it's one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto, every IRS agent's a fake agent under pretend legislation. So anyway, the point is the fake IRS agents, I guess there's like more than 366,000 tax scams relating to those guys. When I kind of joked, will the real fake IRS agents please stand up? All right. I guess oil's sinking, the cost of oil. Will your gas prices go down? Time will tell. Yeah, inventories of oil's rising. Is it going to result in a decreased cost of the gas pump for you? I pray so. I hope so, big time. All right. I guess we talked about Operation Mockingbird with Edwin Vieira a little bit as well. Talking about he who owns the media makes the rules. Do you know much about Operation Mockingbird? Go study it. We also talked about library throws away 172,000 outdated books. Man, those are probably the, the ones that you and I would read the most maybe, huh? Wow. All right, well, many people are now saying that, hey, man, the way the Republicans have been acting, failing left and right, they're virtually ensuring a Democratic president for 2016. Yeah, Michelle Bachmann returns to D.C. She's disgusted, and that's her claim. Very interesting news indeed. All right, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. That's a recap of the broadcast that took place just on Friday. Available now on your Roku player. Look at the special interest section for the Liberty News Radio channel and live and on demand at libertyroundtable.com. The broadcasts are free. However, if you want to donate, click on Help Us Grow. We'd love every penny of support we can get. It'll all be used wisely to tell the tale of liberty. Kirk Crosby's with me. News the networks refuse to use starts now. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you had a delightful weekend, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. And our buddy Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, riding shotgun today. Hello, sir.
Good morning. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Wow. I'm calling it the reign of terror. Whenever legislative sessions are in session, it's absolutely abusive and brutal. It's like a life or death kind of matter going on. 45 days of sheer terror. Thank the heavens it ended last Thursday, Lowell, at midnight, huh?
I'll say went right until midnight. Over 500 bills passed the legislature, both houses of...
How many?
Over 500.
Over 500 manipulations to our freedom?
Well, and most of them were certainly regulations and encroachments on our freedoms to one extent or another. There were a few good bills, lots of bad bills, and, you know, that's just the way it went this session. It was a strange and kind of a downer session.
500 divided by 45 days, 11.111 abuses to our freedoms. Every single day.
They figured last year, I don't know what they did this year, they figured last year that they were acting on a bill, one bill every 9 minutes during the last week of the session.
How do we get these legislators to really think through this and understand and prioritize topics and say, look, the goal shouldn't be a sheer number of bills. Everybody doesn't need to just do everything. We've got to dismantle a lot of the regulations. We've got to simplify it. At the rate of 500 bills per year that pass, that's just in one of the 50 states. That doesn't even count the federal abusive counterpart that's in virtual legislative abuse 24/7. What are we going to do, Lowell? There's got to be some check and balance to this.
Well, the best is watchdog citizenry. We have to watch our legislators. We have to understand what bills they're sponsoring, how they're voting on the various bills, and then let them know how we feel, either at the ballot box by replacing them with legislators that will adhere to the Constitution and to the proper role of government, or if you have good people in there, then just make sure that they know and adhere to that standard. That is the standard on which this radio show is based. It's the standard on which our country grew to be the greatest, most prosperous, most respected nation on the planet, and it is the standard by which we must judge our legislators at the state and national levels. But if you and I don't pay attention, job. Every citizen in the country has to pay attention and watch how their legislators vote. Not don't listen to what they say. Watch how they vote. And then when it comes time for the ballot box, we make the decision whether they go back and serve in the legislature again or not.
And when in doubt, vote them out, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what's the Utah budget, about $14 billion a year?
Yes, that's about right.
All right. Wow, you know, we're going broke fast, ladies and gentlemen. Not only are we going broke fast, but we're getting regulated to the nth degree. It's out of control. Lowell's got good news, he says. I want to talk about this because I'm debating if it's even good news. We'll talk about it in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. CampaignForLiberty.org, the website. Check it out. Click on Utah to hang out with Lowell and learn about his work. And get involved with Campaign for Liberty in your state, will ya? The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so I don't mean to argue with Lowell Nelson of Campaign for Liberty, but I'm telling you right now, it's tough for me to talk about good news when most of it's defensive in nature. Hey, man, it was awesome. I swatted that ball out of there. It was incredible. I jumped up and got a hammer block. I mean, I'm telling you right now, denied. That's good news, kinda. Except that the ball's on the wrong end of the floor all the time. It's hard to call it good news. That's what I'm talking about. Lowell Nelson, first your thoughts, then let's break it down, sir.
Well, that's a great point, Sam. A defensive battle, I mean, you win all your defensive battles, still doesn't mean you've gained any ground.
It also means, though, that you're just tired, though. You know, you do that all the time, you know, two or three quarters of the game, and after a while, you're just not going to be able to keep it up, is the point, also.
Right, and you know, in the 1990s here in Utah, we were fighting defensive battles on gun control, and we won those battles, and then finally went on the offensive, and we're to the point now where, you know, a concealed carry bill actually passed the Senate. Although it died in the House, at least it passed the Senate. And so, in that realm specifically, we are on the offensive, and we're not fighting defensive battles. But by and large, most of our battles this year were defensive. And you're exactly right on the point, Sam. We aren't gaining any ground if all we're doing is fighting defense.
And I don't mean to be negative with that statement. My goal is not just to point out the negative, but my goal is to kind of give a reality check a little bit. You can't, it is good news, but you can't run around and think of it as good news. You got to think of it as, thank the heavens, you know what, we're still in the game here, right?
Yeah, exactly right. There were, you know, two or three good bills, and we'll dig into those in a second. But I think the bad news overwhelmed the good news this session. I was particularly disappointed with our legislature this session, because of all the bad bills that passed, and because of all the good bills that failed to pass, they failed to gain the approval of our elected representatives, those who have sworn an oath to God to uphold the Constitution. And so, yeah, that was the source of my disappointment, Sam. And I think there are a lot of people who really sensed a lot of disappointment this session, unfortunately.
It starts out with health care. There was a lot of pushes by the governor on the Medicaid expansion stuff. There's Healthy Utah by the governor. There's all these different proposals to somehow, on one hand, the Republicans claim they reject Barack Obamacare, but on the other hand, they're virtually doing everything they can to backdoor support it. It's baffling to me. Nevertheless, a lot of that failed, and on one hand, that's good news because we don't have the expansion. On the other hand, and let me kind of point out an interesting dichotomy that I face personally, you know, if they don't expand it, I don't want to be on government insurance, but the law says I have to. And at some point, the penalties may grow so great that I can't pay them. And if I can't pay them, I may have the IRS breathing down my neck and go to jail. So on one hand, you don't want the Medicaid to expand. On the other hand, hey, if they're going to force me to buy insurance, they might as well pay for it. You might as well expand it so I don't go to jail. Now, I'm not saying that I'm for expanding it, but I'm pointing out the dichotomy here and the problem. At some point, I'm not sure that's good news necessarily either.
Yeah, you're between a rock and a hard place. Actually, this one probably should have been in the ugly category, because an ugly bill is neither good nor bad. I mean, it's just ugly, and this is that very situation. I find it really interesting that people can decry Obamacare all over the place, and yet they're willing to accept a Healthy Utah plan or a Utah Cares plan or an expansion of Medicaid in Utah.
But hold on, are they accepting it, or are they just saying, if I'm going to be forced, then I'll jump aboard? In other words, I'm not sure they're accepting it, Lowell.
Well, yeah, I haven't gone that step with you quite yet, Sam. I'm just reminiscing again on what the legislature is thinking, how they can decry Obamacare on one hand, and yet on the other hand, seriously consider these other plans that actually implement Obamacare in the state of Utah. So if they simply don't know, they don't understand that Healthy Utah is Obamacare in Utah, and that the expansion of Medicaid is more Obamacare. And so now we get to the point.
Now, before we get to the point, though, it's also interesting. Usually the House stops things. The House is more common sense than the Senate. In this case, though, a lot of this passed the House, and the Senate stopped it, right?
Well, yeah, in this case, the Senate advanced one bill, which the House killed, and the House advanced a bill called, you know, Utah Cares, which the Senate stopped. And so, yeah, it worked both ways this time. But the bottom line with regard to the Medicaid expansion here in Utah this session was HCR 12, which basically was an agreement by the legislature that they would work on a plan to expand Medicare and have a plan in place that both the House and the Senate would agree upon by July 31st of this year. And that's truly scary. We have to be aware, Utahns, that that's their plan, and we need to make sure that our legislators know in spades we do not want an expansion of Medicaid in Utah. Now, which brings us to the point that you made, Sam. You're between a rock and a hard place. I mean, if you're going to be forced to either pay a fine for not getting health care, or paying for, or you know, having to pay for a plan which you're being forced to participate in. That's the rock and the hard place. There's a number of ways to avoid the taxes for failing to be covered in by Obamacare. And you know, medicalcostshare.com is one such website.
Yeah, in other words, you're saying there's a lot of these Christian sharing plans where they share health care costs. But again, if I'm choosing that, I'm forced to pay for something to get out of something else. And in a way, you could say, well, it's the free market, Sam. It's better than the Obamacare. And on one hand, that's true. On the other hand, I'm still forced to pay out plenty of money. At some point, you gravitate towards the cheapest option.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, this problem began years, decades ago, actually, when they were forcing drivers to purchase insurance on their cars, you know. And that wasn't entirely forcible because, I mean, you could choose not to have a car. But, it's very much the same ilk.
But it is incrementalism where you simply say, at what point does government have authority to push where? And pretty soon, if they can force health care, then by golly, doesn't everybody deserve a meal too, sir? And we go right on down that. I mean, I think everybody deserves to have a gambling fund, for crying out loud. And I mean, everybody deserves to have where do we go? And at what point do you say there's a legitimate, proper role of justifiable government and intervention for the good of us all? You know, where is that line drawn? And that's really what the discussion's about, right?
That's exactly right. And it makes it very difficult for legislators to think that they should not be involved in health care, you know, when, in fact, the medical costs of those who aren't insured are borne by the taxpayer. That's the reason they justify intervening in the marketplace. You know, if you go to the emergency room of a hospital and you don't have any money, but you get care, you know, and the taxpayer has to pay for that, then, you know, that's why the legislature thinks, oh, we have a public interest. The public has an interest in making sure that everybody's insured so that, that the taxpayer doesn't have to bear, you know, so that one group doesn't have to bear the cost of all the uninsured. But in my opinion, we got off the track when we began forcing hospitals to pay for the health care of all people, whether they were insured or not. That's where we got off track. You know, I think there's a lot of charitable, wonderful, warm-hearted people in the world, and if we had a little bit more of our own money, we would be able, economically able, to help those who are in need.
Let's triple down and be very clear. For the longest time, decade after decade after decade after decade, that's the way it used to be in America, and it worked incredibly well, sir. Let's not forget the past.
Absolutely right. It's only been in the recent couple of decades, I think, where we have developed this entitlement mentality, where people think that they deserve, you know, health care, they deserve a job, and all this kind of stuff, but boy, in the generation of our parents, Sam, that was not the case.
I'm just telling you, I deserve daily Twinkies. That's all I'm talking about. All right, hang tight. I'm just kidding, ladies and gentlemen. It's to demonstrate the absurd by being absurd a little bit. Lowell Nelson, our guest, campaignforliberty.org. We're going to talk about diversity in mere seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live, teaming up with your favorite news the networks refuse to use, radio station.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
This half hour is brought to you in part by your scientifically backed free vigor test. How would you like to gauge your energy levels with natural health and healing solutions to improve them? All right, get a hold of Kurt Crosby and say, man, I want to take the free vigor test. He'll help you learn how. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Lowell Nelson, campaign for liberty.org, riding shotgun, breaking down the 2015 legislative session of terror, 45 days of abuse, 500 bills passed. Oh, man, we had some incredible blocks, some incredible steals. I'm telling you, we're even in a double-double scenario. But, man, did we lose the game? This session, we certainly lost the game, ladies and gentlemen. It's a tough road to hoe, to say the least. We started talking about health care. Thank heavens we had some blocks there. Diversity's on the docket, Lowell.
Right. This is called this is geographic diversity this time when we're talking about
what?
A bill that failed, and that's the good news. Again, that's the defensive position we took. We wanted to defeat the bill, and fortunately we had a representative, Daw in Orem, who said the bar is high enough with regard to the referendum process. This bill would have made it so that citizens would have had to get a majority. They would have had to get the signature percentage threshold in a majority of the precincts in their legislative district, whereas today all they do need is just they need to meet the signature threshold in the entire legislative district, and not in a majority of the precincts in that district. So it just would have been it would have made it a lot tougher on citizens to put an issue to challenge an issue and get it on the general election ballot by referendum. And Representative Daw had the sense to realize, you know, the bar is already high enough, and so let's not pass this bill. So that was a little bit of good news. Defensive measure, yes, but good news certainly. This next one was excellent. HB 104 is entitled the Cow Share Program Amendment, and this bill struck. You know, sometimes here in the Patriot community, we always talk about we wish that legislators would strike, you know, two bills for every one bill that they passed. Well, this particular bill, sponsored by Mark Roberts, struck a line from the Utah Dairy Act. That's all it did. It just struck a line. and basically eliminated the prohibition on owning and operating, organizing, or otherwise participating in a cow share program. So basically, you buy a cow, I keep it on my property, I milk it, and I give the milk to you. That's a cow sharing program where multiple people can invest in a cow. The cow is kept on the property, milked, and then the milk is shared among the owners. That's a cow share program, and before now, that was illegal in Utah. So, you know, this is one good step forward. This is one, one time where we reclaimed a little bit of liberty. And so, we need to give credit where credit is due, and this is one place where we reclaimed a little bit of liberty.
And it's great news, but again, what it's really doing is just stopping the abuse that had been done in a previous session. So I'm grateful for it. But again, it's hardly the ability to talk about liberty or to promote the principle of liberty. It's very hard to say that. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm grateful for these things.
Yeah.
It's a tough battle, folks, is my point. And I'm glad for this. But imagine asking permission to be able to have a buddy raise a cow for you. What? Well, and we're so glad now we can do it, by golly. I'm just telling you right now, it's a celebrated freedom. I'm going, what? Are you kidding me? But it is, and we're grateful for it. You're right.
Yeah, you know, at nighttime, in the morning, you know, when we say our prayers, one of my favorite things to consider as I pray is that I'm always praying that we'll defend what freedoms we have left and that we'll reclaim those we have lost. And so this is just one little tiny freedom that we have reclaimed. You know, it was lost, but now we have reclaimed it. And so, you know, that's a win, and we have to...
We have to categorize it as such. We have to celebrate it to some degree and be grateful for it, but we also have to triple down and work that much harder. There's this new phrase. It's a dichotomy of terms in my mind. It's kind of ironic. It's called criminal justice. Now, I don't know if that makes any sense, you know, but that's kind of like saying, hey, man, I got you an incredible pork sandwich. It's like a, you know, pulled pork sandwich. I made it with chicken. That, now, criminal justice?
Well, that's a good point, Sam. You know that prison time rarely provides restitution to victims, and it rarely rehabilitates the criminal. And because of that fact, that's a bare-bones fact, you know, sometimes we do ourselves a disservice by having such a huge incarceration program for criminals. And so this HB 348, which passed both houses nearly unanimously, was the work of an interim committee over the past year where they considered and vetted and improved and refined 18 different proposals or changes, you know, to the current criminal justice system. They call it a criminal justice system, I guess, because, you know, they want criminals to have the appropriate due process, but they also want justice for the victims and of the crime. And so these proposals, you know, I've looked through them, and the ones I've looked at, they seem to be pretty good. And so I think it's going to be, overall, it's probably a good thing. But, yeah, we don't need more incarceration. In fact, I wish, Sam, that before we decide, you know, whether we're going to move the prison or not, I wish we would relax the laws with regard to,
in other words, the idea is only in very extreme cases do you need to put somebody in incarceration. What happens is they're on the dole. There's no way for them to support themselves or anybody else they are responsible for, et cetera, et cetera. And there's better ways to deal with it. An ankle bracelet's a good way. You know, there's several ways to keep track of what's happening in their lives. And most of the time, it's better to let them be with their loved ones. It's better to let them work as opposed to just being kind of on the dole with idle time on their hands. Oftentimes when they're incarcerated, they just hang around other thugs and learn the criminal lexicon / playbook, so to speak. And we got to stop all that. And so this is a step in the right direction. There's no doubt about it.
Right. Exactly right, Sam. Two other bills, which I listed here. This is not an exhaustive list, but I just throw them up here because I think they're good changes. One dealt with forcible entries where, you know, the SWAT team and the police beat down your door in the middle of the night and come in. And, you know, some people mistake them as bad guys or burglars, and they'll either shoot to protect them, their family and their property from the burglars, and end up either killing a police officer or getting shot themselves. Well, this particular bill says, look, if you're going to bang down somebody's door, you better identify yourself as a law enforcement officer. And if you got body cameras in use in your agency, then you'd better have them on throughout the duration of the whole, you know, SWAT team raid. And not only that, but you are not getting any warrants from justice court. If you want a warrant to bang down somebody's door, it better come from a district court judge. And so these were good changes. This bill passed nearly unanimously, and it's helpful to build up and erect these barriers for law enforcement. Not that we don't recognize there might be times that we need to bang down somebody's door, but if we're going to do it, we'd better set a pretty high standard, a pretty high bar for law enforcement to hurdle in order to do that, because that's a huge invasion of a person's privacy, particularly when they make a mistake and invade the wrong house.
Agreed on every count, but again, it's this attitude that everybody's a criminal and everybody's violent, this training that goes on. Look, 9 times out of 10, you can call somebody and say, look, we're having a problem. We need you to meet us at McDonald's or something. 9 times out of 10, meeting in a mutual location. A neutral location by mutual agreement, oftentimes catching somebody at work, catching somebody at the store, catching somebody at a ball game or normal life's events, could be so much more peaceful in 99% of the cases. And that's the problem here, is we just think everybody's going to go crazy, everything's violent, and most times a simpler approach is the answer. In fact, whatever happened to the police being friends with the population and knowing what's happening on their beats and in their neighborhoods? And it'd be very easy to say, look, you know what? I'm so-and-so. I'm a police officer. My kid plays on your kid's baseball team. Look, I need to have a talk with you. All I'm telling you is 9 times out of 10, there's much better ways to go about this rather than just kicking in everybody's doors, and we need to do that. But I'm not really for these body cameras in the first place, Lowell.
Yeah, and there's reasons for and against them, Sam.
The most important reason that I'm against them is because this. What you start to do is depend on that body camera, and if the cop doesn't turn it on, or there's a mistake, or it doesn't show the whole scenario, then the cop now is virtually assumed guilty and trying to plead his innocence. I don't agree with that either.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Statistics do show that the use of body cameras curbs the police's
Well, there's no question about it. Temporarily, that's what will happen. But eventually, you're going to have people not go into the police force because there's the cameras. The burden of proof will be on the cop. It's kind of like replays in sports, okay? Do they help? In many cases, the answer is yes. Overall, do they solve the controversy? Do they solve the problem? Not even maybe.
Yep, it's a conundrum, no question.
And the reality is that, hey, do you want big government and the population? In other words, a democracy deciding justice. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, class, who wants to learn how to dig up bugs, worms, and raise crickets for food? All spiders have 8 legs, but do the hairy ones have the most meat? Is it true grasshopper legs taste like chicken? Which bugs have the most protein? Which are best served dried and which are best eaten while still alive? Which bugs are the most dangerous for your children to eat? Do you like the sound of this? We don't either, so you'll have to go to a government-sponsored expo for cooking with bugs. The Get Prepared Expo has so many great seminars, we had to cross the poorly attended ones off our list, like the Red Cross, FEMA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Department of Education, the Internal Revenue Service, the American Cancer Society, CERT, and Homeland Security. We can't help everyone. Just the really bright people, the top 1% of thinkers and doers, like you. The rest, the other 99% who don't think and don't do, well, the government's standing ready to help them. The Get Prepared Expo, the last weekend in March. For details, visit GetPreparedExpo.com.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and a-peeling because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils has an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Our buddy Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Always so prepared, we'll never have enough time to cover it all. But you can go to campaignforliberty.org, click on Utah to learn more. He's got the good, bad, and the ugly breakdown. We talked about the good. It's defensive in nature for the most part, but there are some good things to come out of the legislative session. Very few. The bad is brutal. The ugly gets worse. The question is where you start. They increased taxes. They didn't let us keep and bear arms. They doubled, tripled down on communist government education. That's kind of a summary, Lowell. What's most important to let people know about?
Well, you know, we've talked several times about the resolution that passed that calls on Congress to convene an Article 5 convention. We don't need to belabor that, but to me, that was the biggest punch to the gut in my of this legislative session. I just it passed by a razor-thin margin in the Senate, just by a single vote in the committee, and by a single vote on the Senate floor. If we had just changed the mind of one senator, then this would not have passed. And so our job in the next year is to persuade at least two senators who voted for this thing to change his or her mind, and then maybe we can rescind our call for a convention next year. That's basically the only thing we can do. And then every legislator who voted for this thing, we just need to work to replace them with legislators who have more respect for the Constitution. The problem here, Sam, is that there are a lot of good liberty-minded legislators who somehow, for some reason, think and believe that they can control the outcome of this constitutional or this article.
Well, it's clear that they can't. The answer is who calls for an Article V?
But
and the answer is Congress,
them.
Sir.
Yeah, they don't believe that. They think that the states will be able to control it. And I don't know why they believe that, but they do. And so, you know, they think that they're upholding this.
Well, it's kind of like the gambler believes that, you know what, they're good enough, they'll win this time.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, we've talked at length about this, and so we probably don't want to belabor that this morning, but I do
The
want
point to- is, we're closer to a con than we were before the reign of terror for 45 days. We got to overturn that. We got a lot of real hard work. We better take a time out this interim, ladies and gentlemen. Come back ready to take care of business, or we're going to be in trouble is the point. Now, this religious / non-discrimination series of bills. There's a variety of them. They all tripled down and passed. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints supported them. Just your thoughts about them first, Lowell.
Right. I was disappointed that the bill passed because, in my opinion, it undermines the right to property and free association. That's fundamentally what it is. If you have more than four rental units, or you employ more than 15 or more people, then you may not discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. And so what, I mean, if you don't have the right to property, Sam, you don't have much right at all. And so why is it that you, you can discriminate if you have four or fewer rental units, but once you have five or more, you can't. I mean, that's not an absolute right to control property, your property. It's your property. You should have the right, and let the marketplace decide. And sort out all of the problems, because the marketplace will decide. I mean, if you refuse to rent your apartments to people, then that word is going to get out, and the marketplace is either going to treat you well or treat you bad, depending on how they feel about your decision. And so I just don't think we need the government telling us how to run our business and whether we have the right to property or not. Let the marketplace decide. That's where the decision ought to be made.
All right. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, nicknamed the Mormons, applauds the passage of the Utah Senate Bill 296. They have an article on their website. If you go to LDS.org in the news section, the media section, you can read about it. It's called Newsroom. And you can read that. Then they also have another article explaining the Religious Freedom Act and LGBT rights. And so they kind of break down their reasonings for discussing this. Now, I am a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and I support the church in, I defer to their leadership. I don't speak for God and I don't speak for the church. I'm just an individual. And so I guess in all fairness, I've got to kind of set a lot of my feelings aside. I'm concerned about property rights. I'm concerned about if you have more than four rentals, then you're in a different class than if you have less. I'm concerned about all those things. However, I will say this. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is about, let me say this right, teaching people to come unto Christ. And you know what? All these other discussions are a derail from that mission for the church, and they've defended their right to carry forward that mission. And I support that mission. And so I guess what I'm saying is that the American people lost in this. A lot of people would point to the church and put blame on the church for that, hey, there was a sellout of some kind or something. I disagree with all that. The church has their agenda, which is to make sure they can continue to tell the tale of God's love and of God's church. And the kingdom of God is on the earth, and they have living prophets, and they testify of Christ, and they preach of Christ, and they teach of Christ, and they invite people to come unto Christ, and they provide ordinances to help people to be saved, etc. Well, I bring that up to say that's their mission, and they have defended that mission. The American people have not defended our rights and our mission, and so we lost at the table. And so we can't put that blame on anybody else, and I defend the church, and rather than speaking for them, I'd rather point you to their documents. Church applauds passage of Utah Senate Bill 296 and explains the religious freedom and the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender rights bill. They explain it, and they explain their position and why. And let me make it very clear. They have not changed their stance on anything when it comes to the moral code of ethics. They claim that, they say this, we believe in marriage between one man and one woman. And although the world and the courts think differently, we stand on that. We're not at liberty to change God's laws here. And so I'm defending the church and saying that they have done their very best in a very hostile climate to preserve their mission, which is to testify and bring people to Christ. And the American people really caved on their responsibility is what happened. Kirk Crosby, do you want to say something about this? I'm doing my very best to express where I think the problems have gone awry. Property rights are a concern. But the American people have not come to the table to defend their right to property and their right to believe and choose as they do. It's the American people that have failed. The church is protecting its mission, and I support that effort. Do you want to make a comment or two? And then I like to point people to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints newsroom and the articles themselves and let the church speak for themselves, since I don't speak for the church. You got a quick comment on that, and then we'll go to Lowell's comments.
Well, it's a good point, Sam, and the bottom line, at least in my opinion, when you are, you're in a hostile environment. And I don't mean that the United States is just the worst place in the world to, for religion. But, it's not.
It's getting tougher.
Certainly the way it was in the founders' eyes supposed to be. And in my opinion, that's one of the reasons why the churches have to deal with, they've got to deal with bureaucrats, they've got to deal with bureaucracies, they've got to, all that kind of stuff. And, religious intolerance is, secularism is on the march.
And there's no good answer when God's law runs, when man's law runs amok of God's law. There's no good answers when that happens, except for to stop it and follow God's law. But other than that, you got a train wreck coming. Because man never does well when he pits his own will, his own interest, his own agenda against God's. That's my summary. Lowell, the remaining minutes are yours, sir.
Right. And Sam, I agree with your assessment of that. The church was indeed protecting its right. I mean, as an organization, it was protecting the Boy Scouts of America, all religious institutions and the Boy Scouts of America. They may establish value-based regulations for student housing, for employment, for hiring and firing, and so forth. And so they have protected their interest in organizing and staffing their organizations in a way where they don't have to hire a gay or lesbian person. Good for them. And they're defending their ability to maintain their organization and move forward without the noise associated with this particular and divisive issue. And it's us citizens who failed to come to the table and do our job. It's our job to protect our rights. Those rights were given to us from our Heavenly Father, our Creator, and it's up to us to protect them and to exercise them.
Because I'm telling you, if Utahns, just 5%, what, 100,000 active Americans in Utah said, absolutely not, we're going to defend our rights, you're not going to violate our property. I'm telling you right now, if you had 100,000 active, hard-hitting Americans, this would have never happened, sir.
Oh, absolutely right. Plus, Americans need to understand that a state is supposed to be sovereign. I mean, that's one of the fundamental oversights of this particular issue, in my opinion. A federal judge who rules or gives his opinion about marriage is out of bounds. You know, he does not have the authority to do that. The states did not grant the federal government, the general government, authority for divorce, for health care, for education, for marriage, for prayer, none of those things. And therefore, any federal judge who makes that kind of opinion or ruling is out of bounds. And we American citizens, fail to recognize that. We fail to understand the Constitution and the separation of powers.
And we fail to activate and get involved in mass enough numbers to change the game, ladies and gentlemen. The silent majority sinking the ship, to say the least. But the good news, ladies and gentlemen, is we dodged a lot of bullets this legislative session, and now the call to action to make sure we do better next time, and that we regroup and that we practice hard, so to speak, meaning learn the ropes, and we get it done next time, sir.
That's right, Sam. Thanks for your good time, your great radio show.
Thank you, sir. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. For Sam and Kurt, we declare we the people. Along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. You going to help? LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.